bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to The Big Show from an office that is probably hotter than Dawn French's butt crack because it is stinking in here. I am sweating like buckets. I've got no beer left now because I've been setting up and we're late and we got a flicker on the screen. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Nothing I can do. We'll sort it out as we go. I'm joined by a fantastic panel to discuss the week in technology, such as it is. Starting off with, top left, Mr. James Hart, as ever. How are you doing, sir?
Hello there. Yes, Flickr gets everywhere, doesn't he? It's the Yahoo's resurgence into the market, I tell you.
I was already planning to make that joke.
Sorry, Eric.
Once again, James beats me to the pun.
Bat dumptish.
One of the benefits of being top left, I'm afraid, sir.
So how's your week been?
How am I? Well, what?
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been awful. I'm going to do my impression of Will Green, if that's okay.
Please go ahead.
Right. I was wondering whether I'm really busy or normal people, and normally I'm really work shy, and I don't know. And I got this mate who keeps kelp.
There you go. You are now the Will Green of The Big Show, finally. That's what this show always lacked.
It does.
I've noticed you haven't shaved as well, mate. Are you halfway down a bottle of whiskey?
Oh yes.
In a brown paper bag.
Just out of reach.
Welcome on, mate. Welcome on. Next to him, a far more sobering look and far more healthy, Mr. Ian Grant. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, mate. Thank you.
Excellent, sir. What's been happening?
Oh, not this and that. Been to T20 yesterday, watched some cricket. Good fun.
Good lad.
Good fun with work.
Yorkshire,
yeah, they won. They beat Worcester.
Very good.
That was entertaining. Really sort of impressive catch where the guy sort of knocked the ball back in from, I'm not a particular cricket fan, but he knocked the ball in from the boundary. Another guy caught it, so it was still out, even though the ball didn't touch the ground.
Yeah, that's fine. You've only got to have control of it within the playing surface.
You do realise, Eric.
Impressive looking thing.
And the rude interrupter there is Foxy. How you doing, mate?
I'm right. I was about to say, you do realise Eric's on the panel and you're going to be completely confusing him more than normal now you're talking about cricket.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Yeah.
And the rules of cricket.
I've already tuned completely out.
Think English baseball, mate. English baseball.
Girly round.
Just as tedious.
And the last, but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Oh, it's fine, sir. How are you?
Hey, this just in, while we were talking about cricket, or while you were and I had no idea what was going on, Google is going to start selling cable TV in that region of Kansas where they're building out fiber. So they really are. They've petitioned the FCC. Google is going to be a cable provider. So I think that's pretty interesting.
That's excellent interesting. Because they've got the option over here as well, I suppose, if they can get a license.
But yeah,
they've got to lay fibre first. That's the trouble.
He said, "Now's your opportunity to petition them. To petition them, Ewan, for Water Orton, a little village.
I need it. That's what I need. Water Orton needs super fast broadband so I can move down there, keep the wife happy, and still keep the show running." There you go. There's a list of priorities. So, the week in technology. Wi-Fi has been banned by the Olympics, along with freedom of speech, free religion, and also fizzy drinks. And also the Nexus 7 seems to be rather popular. UView launched here in the UK and it was on sale today if you wanted to go and buy one and be the only other person that's got one apart from one bloke on Twitter that I've seen so far. Developers say piracy forced Dead Trigger Android game to go free. No idea what that story's about because I haven't read it. And is Skype snooping on your conversations? It's just what we need. A nice conspiracy theory to get us going. Won't that be lovely? And also, apparently, the Microsoft Surface is going on sale for between $1,200 and $1,900, which is a tad expensive, it would seem.
I did a currency translation of the cheapest one, 6,990 Swedish krona, and that came out of being around about £620. So
that's expensive.
Maybe a little bit
cheapest. That's expensive.
Well, it's still very expensive.
We'll come back to the Google thing that Eric's just mentioned to give us all a chance to read something on it. But Microsoft Surface, I mean, this story came out at the end of yesterday, early this morning, saying that a Swedish website had put on prices that went from 6,990 krona up to 12,990 krona. So you're talking about...
And they're still there.
Excuse me, you're talking about £1,200 there, so that's more like $1,800, $1,900 for the Microsoft Surface with 64 gig on it. What was interesting... Oh, sorry, the 128 gig was 14,999 krona. So that went up to about $2,000-ish. I thought this was quite an interesting story. When I saw the story, the first thing I thought was, placeholders, you know, just in case. And I spoke to Street Machine on Twitter, one of our listeners in Sweden, contributor Robert Falk, and he said that this place, Webhalen, is known for doing this kind of thing. They put stuff up and then it stays there and stays there and stays there, and then all of a sudden when the thing gets released, the prices suddenly change. So I think this is placeholder. I don't think it's any more than that. The thing that I thought was quite interesting to discuss was, A, are Microsoft stupid enough to do that and put it at that price? And B, what would they have to do to make that price valued? Yeah. So first one, that was the point. Are Microsoft stupid enough to put a tablet out at $2,000 and expect it to sell?
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. I'll tell you what I think quickly.
Go on.
It's because of the only way Microsoft can out Apple in this environment is to make it a business only tool and make it a business tool that's very expensive as well. So it's, all public governments will probably buy it, won't they? Because if it is expensive and it doesn't work, because that's what they're famous for. But if you can make it, not an executive toy, but if you can make it somehow fit the Microsoft's enterprise and make it something that will work seamlessly within their enterprise, or you build your own system around the Microsoft system in a big business, a big bank or something like that, and you're, you know, the tops of your departments use one of these things to integrate with the whole system, I think price isn't relevant. I think the fact that it's seamless is relevant. So in that respect, they might not sell millions of them, but it's sort of the top-end BlackBerry way of doing things. You know, make it a business tool, and then you can actually sell it for a lot more money than a consumer model. It depends how you put it out.
Eric, you were about to pop in there.
I was saying that I think they actually might have a version of the Surface that is $2,000, because they did talk about having two distinct versions. One is for the ARM architecture, and the other is for a really business laptop replacement, which is based on Intel chips and is a full-scale PC with a hard drive and everything, and is actually a larger, thicker device, but still called the Surface. So I think they could be stupid enough, as we're saying, to do that, and it wouldn't be stupid at all to the right market. But having said that, I don't think that Swedish site even knows what they're talking about, because didn't Microsoft say that they're only going to sell this through Microsoft.com and Microsoft stores, standalone stores, like in malls?
No. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I said, well, at the best, this is a placeholder. So if you're saying that it's going to come out through Microsoft only, then this would never be an issue. Then I fully understand. I agree with that. But what was interesting to me was, the second it came out, the first questions I thought of was, are they stupid enough? And what would I want for $2,000 if I was a Windows user? And that's the key part.
Did you notice that the one that's advertised is the Microsoft Surface for Windows RT, which is the ARM version? So this is just a crappy little ARM machine. It's not a full-fledged PC.
$7,000.
If you look at the one that's 13, that is an Atom pack. It might not even be that's a Core i5. And scarily enough, I could see that, and that's Windows 8, but I could see that one.
Which one is this?
Cheerfully probably being... you might get £1,200, but... I mean, you might get £1,200, a grand maybe. I could possibly see this one, actually. Click into the things, there's actually specs in there.
Yeah, if you click them, there's specs.
But I've got the processor make NVIDIA CPU family Tegra. These are the ones I'm
looking at. Yeah, that's the cheapy one. Yeah, the cheapy one is at $7,000. But if you go to the full Monty, the 12990 one, that's got a Core i5 in it.
but that is still ridiculously expensive.
Horrendous. Yeah, no, I think the Surface is going to have to come in competitively priced with the iPad, or else they're not going to have any product. I mean, how could you sell a $2,000 Surface laptop or laptop slash tablet that has literally no software at launch for $2,000? Well, I don't think it would happen.
Now, hang on a minute, because that was my point. First of all, are they stupid enough to do this? And I think, yes, they would be, but I don't think they'll try and hit an equal product with the iPad at a price that's twice as much. So the next question in my mind is, what have they got to provide? Well, you're talking about a tablet with an i5 processor in it? A tablet with an i5
convertible
processor
job. It's a laptop. It's a tablet.
Exactly.
It's the device that I keep whittering about, the one where you have your tablet in your bag, you walk to work with, you play Angry Birds on the train, you read the newspaper, you watch a movie, whatever. When you get to work, you click it into your dock. You've got another bigger screen in front of you. You've suddenly got, how I keep seeing these things with multi-monitors, you've got the hateful start thing on one screen, which you can use as a touch interface, traditional monitor in front of you. You've got the new Microsoft Office 2013 in front working away. And that's that device. That's your Ultrabook, your mega expensive, the MD's laptop type of thing.
Pardon? Is that $2,000?
No, never. £1,200 probably.
$2,000. $2,000. So we're talking 15.
It's 13. It's 1,400 quid.
£1,400.
I could just about see that maybe squeaking in there.
I think.
Don't know how many companies are paying for it, but.
Well, I was going to say the chat room has already brought to get brought the Sony Ultrabooks are selling. They're not selling massively, but they are selling for a premium price, and this is kind of that level. It's beautiful looking. Yeah. It's smart. It's stylish. And if it can be considered a luxury item in this world of where everybody's got a cheap even a cheap mobile phone, which was considered a luxury item way back when, if somebody could carry if they can justify that, but then again, why would they have one of these over an iPad? I'm still not entirely sure. Well, apart from the fact that they could carry their desktop to work with them.
Well, if you think about it this way, right, they're not going to be Apple. You know, people say, is this an iPad beater or, is this a version of the iPad? No one at the moment can beat Apple and making iPads because of Apple is iPad, right?
So you've got to do something different.
Yeah, so what you do, you have this tagline, if you like. Microsoft can have a tagline that says, if you want something that's just an iPad, then buy an iPad. If you want something that's more, buy this. You know, so they're going for, you know, you've not got this sort of thing that works like a computer, but then you've got to sync it, you've got to do this, you've got to transfer it, you've got to go through the cloud, you've got to do this, that, and the other. You can do that on this machine, and this machine is powerful enough to do everything that you want to do anyway. So,
right, only the Intel versions.
That does everything, but you can sync it, you can cloud it, you can do this, but this machine is strong enough, it's got enough oomph in its own merit to do it. So you've got your laptop computer, your iPad, and everything in one slightly bigger, slightly more expensive box. But, you know, so it's not an iPad. If you want that just behaves like an iPad, then buy an Apple one. If you want something more, then buy this.
But to be clear, that what you're describing is just the Intel version. I think the ARM version really is going to try to be a direct competitor to the iPad.
Yeah, but I think you need both of them.
600 quid against the Nexus 7?
No.
Oh, you know. Yeah. I don't think so.
That's the key part. This is my thought process here. What's this got to do that's that special that justifies that price? And the low end version of the ARM processor, it's too much in the mobile market, which is too competitive by far. It's not going to compete with iPad because there's an iPad market and there's a tablet market. And in the tablet market, this is lost against the Fire, the Nexus 7, and the Nexus 7 is getting some serious plaudits. It's sold out. I've been on the waiting list with Google for a review unit for 3 weeks, and they haven't actually got any yet. There's no review of units to send out to me. This thing's a seriously popular output. So this thing's got a special job to do on the RT. I think it's got to do what Ian says. It's got to be, I take this thing out, I plug it in a dock, and I've got instant PC everywhere.
Yeah, but if you think about it as a business tool, you've got the guy in charge that has the £1,200 all-single dancing model, but all his minions and everyone else down the line, because of its compatibility with the enterprise that's built into their own system, can have the baby version, which is the ARM version. So the two things do go together. So it is an iPad version because it's going to work with the Big Brother and the system. That's why I think the two things work.
And I want to make the point that I think if they don't come out with a version of this, the ARM version that is under $500, like $499 or maybe even less than that, then it'll show they're not really serious about this. They're not really serious about competing with the iPad. I think they are. That's why I think that they really are going to try to undercut, if not match, the iPad. And depending on if they're really serious about this new direction, selling their own hardware, selling their own Microsoft branded tablets, we'll find out as soon as they do announce the actual pricing to see how competitively it's priced. Does it undercut their third party OEM partners? Does it undercut Apple and the Android tablets already on the market? Only if the answer is yes, do I think that Microsoft is serious about having an ARM based tablet that can compete with Apple and Google.
There's an interesting point.
I want to show you something, guys.
Okay.
I want to show you this.
Go on, then.
This is my work laptop. 11.5-inch screen.
Yep.
HP EliteBook. If you want a portable laptop, carry this thing around, but you need a bigger battery pack, £1,100.
How much?
£1,100.
There you go.
It's an i7. So it's a high performance. It's miniature, but I can get all my work done on this, and I take it to work with me. Plug it into my docking station at work.
Right. So now envisage, James, that computer in your hand is only the screen, and you could just plug it in and out of somewhere.
I would. That's why I'm showing you it. I would totally buy one of those for a couple of £100 extra.
There's a great.
And this is. I mean, I'm not a particularly high ranking person in my company. But I use one of these for my tool because I can bring it home with me. I can go on call. Someone gives me a call. I can plug it straight in. It's portable and it's quick. And that's only. I was surprised that to buy them. They're about £1,100.
Now imagine if that screen, James, had a cover that on the underside had a full keyboard that was worked like magic. Except you can't try it out because it doesn't work yet. Don't you love that about the presentation? They're like, this keyboard is magic. There's no key travel. It's totally flat. It's just like a piece of rubber, and yet it types. Can we try it out? Well, no, because it doesn't work yet. It might never work.
Interesting point here for you, Ian, in the chat room. Paul says, do you suffer the same financial year-end rush that I do, where managers buy anything to clear the budget? This year, they're all buying iPads at work, even 64 gig ones, which they'll never use or need. Can you see this being ordered en masse next year because the enterprise really doesn't care about the price, it just wants to clear the budget?
We're fighting to know for every little penny we can get at the moment. It's different. We don't have them sort of spending their money. They don't have them trying to empty the pots, unfortunately.
Paul's a research boy.
Yeah, he's got loads of money over there. We tend to find it's the other way. But we are seeing loads of iPads turning up in managers' hands.
By the way, what do you guys think of the new version of Microsoft Office?
I mean, if you think about 64-gig iPads, they're £600 there.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
So it's not a cheap device. It's not a cheap device by any means, even the iPad. But I think we will start seeing the things like the Microsoft ones, because we can buy them on our lease agreements. We can just add them to our lease. You know, we'll get a lease for 50 laptops from Dell, and we'll be able to buy the tablets with the lease. The IT manager will be happy, keeps his budget in check. The users will be happy because they get new toys. And it's all integrated into our systems because it works with Exchange and it works with and Microsoft Office.
That's the key part.
That's what I said before. I think they will take off just because of the way they are.
That's the swinger on the budget scale, isn't it?
Yeah, we can put it on our leases. We take from Dell or HP.
Eric, you had a point.
Oh, I was saying, have you guys seen the new Microsoft Office? What did you think of that?
I haven't used it yet, no.
I haven't
used it, but I saw some screenshots and I read a little bit about it. It looks like, you know, I don't know what they're thinking with in the user interface department.
No, it's very white, isn't it?
Sorry?
The interface is just completely white.
Yeah, it's totally white. I mean, they've taken away any dimensionality in their... Yeah. In their UI, whether it's the touch first interface or the classic Windows 7 like interface, or I guess what are they even calling it, the desktop interface in Windows 8, but it's not, doesn't look like 7. Do they have a current name for that, or is it just like the desktop mode? What do you call that Office runs in? Anyone know?
No, it's in desktop mode on Windows 8.
Desktop mode. Okay. So in the desktop mode now, they've removed the dividers. I mean, it looks like an absolute train wreck what they've done with that ribbon. Basically, someone who thought that the ribbon was a good idea has taken it to its what they thought was its logical extreme in both Windows Explorer and Windows Explorer 8 and the new version of Office for Windows 8, which is to just throw every possible, they've just taken every menu option out of the text-based drop-down menu and just display, just sprayed it all out across the screen in a sea of icons that just change and you know, it's chaos. I mean, you don't need 100 buttons in view at all time. That is called confusing. It's called visual clutter, visual chaos. It makes it hard to use.
Screenshot in the chat.
But that says,
sorry, go on. Anyone wants to have a look at what this mess looks like?
Thank you, mate.
So I'm inclined to agree with you.
Derek, well, I was saying, in some respects, that's true, but in others, I don't know whether it's the same as Office 2010, but you can hide it. You can just make it so you just scroll to the top of the screen and select what you need when you need it. So it's not on display all the time.
Oh, I know, but everyone says, oh, you can always hide it. But I mean, this is Microsoft's attempt at the best possible user interface for Office. And this, you know, yeah, you can hide it. And yeah, you can also try to avoid the Windows 8 touch first interface, the Metro style, but it is there. And Microsoft does expect everyone to use it and love it. So I think in that regard, they're making a mistake. Also, you'll notice that they've taken away any kind of gradients or transparency, translucency, any kind of three-dimensionality is now stripped away from Windows.
That's the Metro design UI. That's the Metro design ethic. The idea is it's completely and utterly flat. There is no Chrome. There is no thing. It's just you and the document, I think's what they're going for. Don't like it, I have to say. But when you look at my phone, again, that's the same kind of idea. When you click into an app, everything else disappears apart from the interface you're interacting with.
Well, now the open and close dialog boxes and the save dialog box are now like full screen, but the full screen is just like a blue column. It's like some kind of modern art where it's just like all one solid color. I mean, I think you reach a certain point where I think we can objectively say that's less attractive than the interface it replaced.
Yeah, there's another show. I've just put another one for Word just to give you an idea of what sort of thing you're going to be looking at. I must admit, I'm not looking forward to that.
I quite like it.
It's sort of HTML5. I think they're not going to get it right until, first of all, they bring back those plastic keyboard overlays where you get all the shortcuts. And also, I still think they need to bring back that wobbly paperclip guy in the corner.
Absolutely.
No, Clippy.
Taking out the back of the stuff and shot.
Oh, we miss Clippy.
Yeah.
No,
you're
not missing Clippy. Clippy was taken out the back and shot and should let members left out and rot.
I just realized. So you've got the hipster subculture, right? And they've got the fedoras, they've got the tweed jackets, they've got the thick rimmed glasses. They listen to vinyl records. They take up knitting. They do all these things. Why is it not yet a hipster thing to have a giant, fat, huge CRT monitor on your desk with an anti glare filter circa 1991? Why is that not retro chic?
Because it's crap.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to work out what you mean. Retro. I thought that was current.
I love you, Eric. You're on the cutting edge, boy. Well done, mate.
I would say that. Yeah, the color balance on the on a CRT monitor. You know where you are with it.
Yes, absolutely. The original high def. Good point from Stuart in the chat room. If you're sticking an i5 into a tablet, how hot is it going to get? I mean, you're not going to be having vents on that thing. Maybe it's a form of transport when the vents get going and.
It scoots across the desk.
You can fly.
Well, maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to cure global warming by no one needing to heat their houses anymore. You'll put your pad in the place of the radiator, and that will heat your room at the same time as doing your work.
No, even better than that, it becomes a personal heating device. So you just sit in a cold room with this laptop thing on your lap, and it just generates this curtain of heat around you. So just the area you're sitting is lovely and warm.
Brilliant. There you go.
And no doubt they'll spin that into some kind of environmentally friendly, save on your heating cost or something.
The only thing is, farting does the same thing.
Did anyone notice when Johnny Ive is in that video for the new MacBook Pro, the Retina MacBook Pro, he's talking about how they made it quieter than ever, and he mentioned something. I just don't know if this existed in previous laptops or if they're the first to do this. If anyone knows, tell me. Asymmetrical fan blades. The sound of the fan, the internal fan that's cooling off the computer when it needs to, when it gets overworked like that, the i7, and the fans kick in, the individual blades are now totally different. Each blade is a different size, so that and they show it on a graph, like on a frequency, like a spectrometer style graph. It shows how if all the fan blades are the same shape, they will make a single more or less monotone frequency that you'll notice is annoying, like the typical sound of a fan. But if they, if they're all different, it spreads out across the sound spectrum and creates more of a white noise that you don't notice. It's sort of a sound masking property. I thought that was amazing. Does anyone know, has that been in PC laptops this whole time and I just didn't know about it?
I think that's bollocks.
No, no, it's true and it's new. I looked at it when I first heard it ages ago. What the theory is, if you've got, I don't know, 20 blades all making the same noise, you get 20 times the volume, if you like, on one frequency. But if you've got 20 different frequencies, but at a 20th of the level, it sounds quieter because you're not, you know, you haven't got 20 of the same noises. So you've got more noise over the whole spectrum, but it doesn't sound so loud. That's exactly how it works.
I'm wondering if it, I'm wondering if it's equally as effective because you, if, as soon as you get asymmetric blades, you end up getting you would probably end up getting turbulence because you've got an incoherence in the airflow.
Your MacBook Pro has lift.
But I thought that the
just hover above the desk.
I'm just saying maybe it's got less effective cooling as a consequence of it because the air is turbulent, not flowing.
Stop. We get accused of talking shite enough on this network. Don't make it any worse by speculating. All right.
Have we got any fluid dynamic experts in the house? Right in.
All I would say is that the beauty of the human brain is if it gets a consistent frequency in sound, it's very good at tuning it out and forgetting about it. So you start varying the frequencies and it's going to become really friggin' annoying.
Completely.
No, I don't think so. Remember, this is the principle behind any kind of lossy audio encoding like AAC or MP3 is that when you have a sound that is louder, no matter where it is on the frequency domain, like you can have a very loud thing in the treble domain and psychologically that causes your brain not to notice what's going on in the lower mid-range area or something like that. So if you spread it out, there is something called sound masking that takes place in your brain, psychoacoustic. So you really do kind of filter it out and your brain can't decide what the noise is. So I think the logic and the science behind it, the sound, I can't wait to actually hear one in person or see if other companies do the same thing.
What I would do is I'd play anti-noise out the speakers like you're doing cars.
White noise. There you go. Reflective noise.
Yeah.
I just texted my wife and asked her if she'd bring me a beer, and she has. I love her. I love her story.
Right. I'm going to text my wife.
I can't repeat what she texted back, but she bought me a beer. Thank you, darling.
I'm going to text James's wife as well.
Super Chicken in the chat room says, sorry, could you repeat that? I missed it. It seemed to be filtered out. Ba-dum-tish. Asus has released a tablet. This is £599 worth of Asusness. And based on the fact that they're the people that have made the... I've got Transformer the right company.
Hold on. The video's delayed. You have a foot-long beer? Your beer is like a foot-long sub. A foot-long beer. Can anyone else see this? It's a foot-long can. I don't think we have those in America.
No one else can see this. It's in your imagination, Eric. It's a beer it's a full pint. It's a full pint of Stella.
That's funny. I've never seen that before. It's a foot-long.
It's not a foot-long. God, my face
is... Stella is no beer, is it?
Stella... It's only because it's left over from the bash. I'm still drinking it. I reckon everyone that came to the bash was driving because there's shed loads of alcohol left. I'm slowly getting through. I'm trying.
I bet you're so depressed about that.
Anyway, back to this tablet. They've brought the Asus Transformer Prime Pad out. It's 10.0. LED display, 1610 aspect ratio, which is an interesting ratio, 1920 by 1200 native, 178 degree viewing angle, 8 megapixel camera, 1080p video recording, 30 frames a second, and it's £599. Due out on August the 31st this year. So there you go. Would you buy it?
No.
Why not, Ian? Why not?
Why not? Well... If I want Android, I'm going to spend £200 on one of these lovely little Google things because that's probably going to do the job nice. And if I want something that's 10-inch and a bit more compatible, I'm going to buy an iPad. Well, I did. But I'm going to buy, you know, the bigger Android devices, I can't see the point in them when those little Google Nexuses are £200 and that's much more accessible. If I'm spending £500, to be honest, I'd buy an iPad.
Yeah.
Unless you're really it's got ice cream sandwich, actually, because it should have jelly bean, really.
Well, that depends if they've bothered to do the coding work, though, doesn't it? I mean, it's That's the point, is whenever you, that's the bane of Android, is the fact that you're reliant on the manufacturers or the end users, the transmitters creating it and skinning it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And I don't use an iPad, right? So, but my memory of an iPad is the screen goes a hell of a lot nearer the edge than that thing. That thing seems to be, the frame around that seems to be enormous.
There's quite a bit of chrome around the edges, though. The Asus bit, I think, is a toolbar, and so is the little bit with the buttons on the very bottom edge.
The little icons on the bottom look like they should be.
I mean, maybe it still looks a hell of a lot more plastic around the edge than you do. No, I'm just saying this, if that's a 10-inch screen, how big's the actual pad itself? Because it looks enormous.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it's an inch bigger all the way around.
The same size as the Silver Surfer surfboard.
There you go. But I think it's interesting to go 1610 and 1920, 1200, because of that's still the, I mean, I couldn't never work on a screen like that size anyway, but that's still the dimension that I prefer for my Mac screens. I much prefer 1610 to work on than 1609. Well, so as a working tool, it makes more sense.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to look at movies on this thing, 1609 would fill the screen, whereas 1610 would allow you to have volume, fast forward, play, stop controls visible, but not inflicting any issue on your screen.
Or also, if it does,
16:9 doesn't. No, bro, that's our says. Movies you buy and download are something like, you know, they're letterbox format. You've got black top and bottom anyway.
Yeah, no, that's 278 to 2 or whatever, or whatever it is.
235, isn't it, or something like that?
235 to 1, yeah, 2.
You end up with these black strips back at top and bottom, whatever you do.
Okay.
But anyway, as for a usability, I still prefer to work on 1610. All the professional monitors I use are 1610 and not 1609. Mm. Having said that, unless you're actually going to migrate whatever you're working on onto a proper screen, and I've no idea what ability this has, I'm not sure the actual aspect of this screen is that relevant.
Russ in the chat room says, if you've got beer left over, I've thought of a use for it. You're an idiot, mate, because I was trying to get rid of it. I was peddling it and saying, take it. I've still got half that tub of mead as well. That's got to go back to Steve Neighbour this week.
It comes in a tub?
Well, that's the best word I've got for it.
Came in the bath.
UView has hit this week. This is a service launched by Lord Sugar, allegedly. Apparently, he comes in. My mate Dan works at UView. There's a lot of the flash encoding and that kind of stuff. And he said, Lord Sugar walks in and says, why is it taking so long? I've got a reputation to upkeep. Don't give me all this talk. Just talk to me in plain English like I'm a simple barrow boy. And so they do, and he gets upset, apparently. But UView's come out. It's got BBC, ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5. Internet connection is required. And for £300, you've got a box that does everything that your computer does. When you can go and buy an Apple TV for £99. Win or lose, fellas?
I think they're it's going to be the take-up. I've just seen an article that says if you sign up for TalkTalk Plus Broadband, A, you're an idiot. No, if you sign up for TalkTalk Plus Broadband and Phone, you get one of these things free. So it's basically the
Is that the to stop your cable rocking?
No, it's the ADSL supplier's version of TiVo and Sky Plus. So they just throw it in as a kind of a, you know, I imagine BT will be selling it as giving it away free as well. It's kind of the television version of Sky and TiVo.
I think all the ISPs now have got to get into the IPTV market, or they're going to feel they're losing out.
Mm-hmm. BT have already got there, right?
Maybe the way one of them's picking up some kind of thing. Because I mean, the BT one, I think, is the most attractive one, because haven't they got rights to a lot of the Premiership games for this year? Yeah, or for the next year coming?
Yeah,
BT. And so in terms of that, it's going to make big money for them if they can get it out.
They've already got one, haven't they?
But that's the point, is that getting into IPTV, in inverted commas, is not about taking terrestrial content and just shoving it through a computer screen, because there's so many places that do that. Yeah, rightly or wrongly or legally or otherwise, there's a lot of places to go and get terrestrial television. So IPTV is about creating channels with specialist interest. This isn't that. This is taking the general stuff you can get by flicking your TV on and sticking it in an IP channel, and it'll be crappy, and it'll be slow, and it'll be horrible, and it'll be buffery.
The thing is, they're not. What they're doing is, because we've already given this a kick in on the media show, so, but what we sort of, our conclusion was that because of its basically a Freeview bus plus box to start off with, right? So you've got, it still comes down the aerial the same as everything else. Then, incidentally, you have to plug this in. It doesn't come with Wi-Fi, the first generation. So you actually have to plug it into an Ethernet cable. And what you get is the BBC iPlayer, the Channel 4 player, the, I suppose Channel 5 must do one. I don't think ITV do one. And that's basically all you get. Now, I discovered, I was in Maplin Electronics, and there's a company that do something called, I think it was called an iCan or iView. I can't remember what it's called now because it was a few weeks ago. And that was £35. And what the difference was is this didn't have a hard drive in it, so therefore, you know, it should be cheaper. It did have the iPlayer in it already, and it was Ethernet cable only. So basically, with a little bit of software upgrade on this £35 machine, and the hard drive, what would that bring it up to? Maybe £100?
Yeah. I mean,
you've got exactly the same thing.
My point to that, Alex, is exactly what you just started down the path of there, that for £79, you can buy a hard drive with a 1 terabyte hard drive in it, a Freeview box that will get everything that this thing's got coming out on it.
Yeah, but this thing the thing I was talking about has even got built-in iPlayer access.
Yeah,
so you're only talking about a software change.
4.0D will be on it. The whole shebang. Yeah,
exactly.
That's not really accessible. It's not a Commodore Garden thing you go out and get. You want your supplier to tell you what to have. Well, I say you. Your mum would say, what should I get? And you just go to Maplin, get yourself a hard drive.
No,
they're not going to do that.
No, but my point is £300 is way too expensive. It's really over the top.
Although this box is just a Humax, you know, the company that makes a lot of the best preset viewers. It's one of them rebranded for UView, and that's what they, I've been looking at them recently, and a decent Freeview HD box costs about that.
No, granted, and this is something else.
So if you get it free off your ISP, bugger it, you'll have one.
Yeah, but the point is Humax make X amount, 1,000, because they make them and they're in the market on their own. If this is the branded for the ITV, BBC, you know, basically, if this is branded for all the main companies in the country, it shouldn't be costing £300. Because whereas they might make 10,000, they could be making 500,000 of these very easily. The whole thing is way over the top. And Lord Sugar's answer was, well, in a couple of years, it will come down.
Look, Alan Sugar was not brought into this project for his ability to drive a project forward in project management. He was brought in because his name's Lord Sugar, and it meant his picture could be up on all the stuff when it goes launched. That's it.
And if anyone can sell Tut, he can.
Exactly.
And no one else had the front to stand there and say it was £300.
This is the man who sold Amstrad with his own name.
Don't forget the emailer.
Oh, the emailer. Oh, yes. I forgot about the emailer.
But then so did everyone who bought one.
I could tell you some stories about that, but I'd get sued.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'll tell you off air.
Should we talk about something that that Eric can talk about or not?
No. He looks happy.
He's not in quiet for a change.
I think he's asleep, isn't he? Eric,
there. There's half a dozen. It's a bit of a tablet show tonight. Steady. There's half a dozen new Kindle Fire tablets coming to challenge the iPad. The online retailer Amazon recently acquired 3D mapping startup Upnext, and apparently they're having a real old bash at the iPad. The sweet spot of $199 is still going to be there, and then they get better and faster and bigger and lovelier as they go along. But six, why do you want six versions? Well, have a 6-inch, 7-inch, an 8-inch, a 9-inch, a 10-inch, 11-inch, 12-inch.
Maybe get a free handbag with each size.
How long is yours? I can't.
Again, if the price is right, they're a very, very, very tasty deal. Especially since they're going to have the Amazon application store, and they're going to be integrated with Kindle. And if Amazon, I don't know, Amazon have taken quite a while getting going with this, in my opinion. Though there are products out which, you know, the Nexus 7, if that gets a foothold, they're going to struggle with this, are they not?
I think so. They might struggle with it if the Nexus takes a hold, but as you said, linked into Kindle. Lots of people have bought themselves a little black and white Kindle and love it to bits. Chance of a colour one. And I think you've got, and it's a couple hundred quid. I honestly do think you've got something there that might well sell well.
There's one simple answer to that is, what has the Nexus 7 got that the Kindle Fire hasn't?
Is this a riddle?
It's near enough the same device, isn't it?
It's got an international market. And that's what the Amazon Fire lacks. It hasn't got an international market at this point in time. It's not available in the UK. No. It's just a US device.
That surprises me.
And the US hasn't taken to it.
Yeah.
They've not gone for a
Splurge. Do you know why that is? Why do you know why it never broke this to the US, UK?
Is that a riddle?
Yes.
Hansel and Gretel.
I have no idea. Please do enlighten me.
Because I think the Amazon App Store only just hit the UK, hasn't it? I think it's hit the UK now. Can't remember now.
You can't get all the Play Store either, can you, apparently?
If I had to guess why they haven't done it yet, it would be because the whole business model of subsidizing the hardware price and making it up in sales, maybe they have a larger number of really big, loyal, dedicated customers, more Amazon Prime customers, more customers who do like the 2-day free shipping, and maybe their infrastructure is just better that way in the US. Or maybe it's a licensing thing. They haven't licensed
but books. If that was the model, Eric, it would have taken hold, and it hasn't.
Well, you know what they really should do? I mean, it really would work. Is if, I mean, maybe the Times isn't a big enough newspaper anymore, but go to a newspaper, and I'm not talking about a Red Top, a proper newspaper, and have an offer. You have a year's subscription, say the Times, for an example, and then you get this thing for £99 or $99. Then that's subsidized with the Times. Plus, now you've got them, they've got something that will, everyone that's got it's going to access your store and buy more stuff. Where they've gone wrong, they're trying to sell it off their own back. They want to sell it off the back of something people already use, such as the Times newspaper or something like that. That's the way to get it to flood the market.
Yeah, I mean, Pierce in the chat room saying, what the hell are they doing here? There's a note from Tone who's saying, how many versions? And it's saying 10. Paul saying £99 and it might have it. But Pearson's point is the fact that a couple of the sizes would be memory capacity changes. So that varying, it could be three tablets at three different to get up to the 9. So, yeah.
But if you think about it, how many tablets has Apple got at the moment? Don't they have all both? They have six, don't they? Have they three versions three? In both?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
4G. So they've got six versions out there.
Yeah, no. Good point.
Blimey, I never thought I'd do that.
What, I actually said that you made a good point.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I feel quite proud now.
I've given up trying to screw around with the bloody contrast on this thing while we were... I've noticed, though, so, the brighter it's gone, the flicker's disappeared. So Alex is right. It's a low light issue. But I'm telling you, fellas, I've got so much light in front of me here that it's unbearable.
Yes.
Squinting up.
Sunglasses.
Exactly.
I think I see anywhere ahead.
It's going to end up looking like Max Headroom. It'll be about the only thing in the room that we can make out. Everything else is going to be burnt out.
This podcast and all the others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. We'll go back to Dim Vision. There we go. And they're superb. They look after us. We look after them. And we give them a good plug each week. And you guys are buying it. Thank you very much for them. UK2 have said that we are, I think what they said, the ROI for British tech is good. So, Roy, whoever you are, thank you. You're buying shed loads, apparently. They cost us, to sponsor us, cost far less than they get from us. You guys are looking after them. Please, please, please keep supporting them, because inadvertently you're supporting the British Tech Network. The codes are on the sponsors bit on the top right-hand side. Put your code in before you put your payment details in. Hit return, put the next code in, hit return, and so on. If you want web, you've got to buy it from UK2. Stephen Law in Ireland, he went and got himself a VPS today, so a VPN rather. So £2.98 it cost him because of the code instead of over a fiver. So it's well worth it. If you buy yourself a domain, you're going to get 20% off. And if you need domain hosting, then you get your first year of that free. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Please support UK2.net. You must go to our webpage first and use the click-through. If you go direct and if you use the code, they'll honour the code, but they'll think you got it off a voucher site. Please go through our website first to show that we're the ones that have done it. Brilliant. Right. Have we got any cool things? Mr. James.
I'm going to go Will Green again. My wife went out earlier and she saw something that had been yarn bombed. Have you ever heard of yarn bombing?
Yarn bombing? No, I haven't.
It's where people sew little pieces, they knit a load of stuff and they stick them over something like a bus or a bollard or a shop. Anyway, my cool thingy, because the Olympics is coming.
Oh, don't. It's Olympic free zone.
No. This is quite good. This is technological. You can go to the BBC website and buy tickets. No, get free tickets to see the Olympics in super high vision, which is one better.
Is this 4K? It's one better than 4K.
It's one better than 4K. Wow. They've got £1 million screens.
It's got 22.2 multi-channel sound formatting alone.
Yes.
22 speakers?
22.2. Don't forget the point two, dude.
Oh, so two subwoofers.
Yeah, but they're all behind you.
And apparently the picture is, I haven't been down there to see it yet, but it's worth, if you can't go to the events themselves, this is the second best, and I think the community spirit in there, free tickets, worth going to see just for the humongously massive screen alone.
So just to refresh, this is where?
This is in London, in the Radio Theatre in London, and it's free tickets, just apply and see if you can go see an event if you're nearby. And if you're in America, you have to do it over Skype.
Forgive our ignorance. Where is the BBC Radio Theatre exactly?
Just north of Oxford Circus, West One. Just north of Oxford Circus.
Thank you, sir. Very good.
I have a question. Do you need 24 speakers to watch people run?
You've never heard David Coleman,
God. It's about the experience, love.
This swimming sounds great.
That's a typical American.
Listening to these gymnastics just blow me out of my couch.
That's typical American. If he can't copyright it, he's not interested.
Yeah. But you know what happened, Ewan, don't you? In a couple of months' time, they'll claim they invented it.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah.
Bit like the internet they and worked computers.
Out, they worked stuff. Out the codec with the Enigma machine from the Second World War that they found.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Grant, you have something for us.
I do, sir. This week's, first one, this week's free app from the app store's turned up.
And?
And it's Catapult something or other. I've just saw it flash up on my mail and now can't get back to me.
Is it the one with the medieval?
It's Catapult King is free app of the week, by the way.
I have that game and it's brilliant. Store.
And my pick of the week is Tuning Radio for iPad.
Right, what does that do?
I love it. It's a lovely little app which you can receive commercial and BBC radio stations in the UK. And I use it as an alarm clock now on my iPad rather than having a stupid radio alarm next to my bed. Sit there and set up the local radio. It works brilliantly. It's better than FM after all.
Excellent.
And that's pick of the week.
Very good. I've got to say, I've had a few emails this week saying, why can't we find you on the podcast app that Apple have pushed out? I have no idea. I deleted the podcast app after 3 minutes. It was so bad. So if you've got any complaints about why podcast app's not working, send them to frigging Apple, not me, because I just make an RSS feed. The RSS feed's fine. Nothing I can do. Right. Next, Mr. Fox. We jumped on you a bit late, mate, so if you haven't got
anything else, I'll
understand.
Well, you know what? I've got two. I bought something recently.
Mr. 11th that, hour with two.
Well, the first thing is very simple. I just mentioned it before, and I just thought it's worth a mention that we've restarted the media show. And as I've been on it a few times, and I have listened to every single episode so far, it's coming along really well. So if you want a really lighthearted listen to a sort of media-based chat and giggles and quite nicety, I would have said, have a listen to the media show, because even though I say so it myself, I think we're doing quite good at that. So have a listen. Right.
I'm subscribing.
Listen to the media show or else.
Yeah, or else. Or I'll give you a
the boys will be round.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What my real pick is, and it's not that expensive, so I don't actually have to pretend I didn't buy it. Right. And this is where I was a bit embarrassed before. It's actually called Climax Digital. All right. And it's not even rude. Okay. It's a USB 2 video capture. For Apple. Okay. Now, right. I tried various things. I tried a really expensive Dazzle that I had, which wasn't for Apple, and I used that piece of software that I can't remember what it's called. It cost me about 30 quid and I still couldn't get the sound to work and various things. And it wasn't very good. But I bought this thing off of Amazon, which was, it's $35 at the moment. £35 at the moment. I didn't pay that much. But for an Apple video, any Apple video capture device, that's very, very cheap. And no, it's not as good as the Blackmagic thing that I spent a couple of hundred quid on for my son and all the rest of it. But it's certainly good enough to get old video. It's certainly good enough to be able to throw a few things that I was trying to show a friend an old video of mine via Skype the other day. And it synced it perfectly, and they could watch what I was trying to show them via Skype. Yeah. I just changed the Skype inputs to this thing. Well, perfectly. And for £35, for anything Apple video, I think is a very, very good deal. And it comes with the software you need. And it's plug and play, really. A bit of software, plug and play.
Is there a bit of video capture hardware that doesn't sound a bit rude?
No idea. Yeah, it does a wee. But... yeah, it's got like one touch button sort of recording thing on it and stuff, which I haven't used. It's S video and composite, but it does the job. It doesn't do it fantastically, but for £35, you're not going to do better. So it's a Climatch Digital. It's the Mac version. It's got a very long number on it, which is really uninteresting, but it's the Mac version, Climatch Climax Digital for £35 on Amazon.
Well done, sir. Eric, what you got for us, pal?
All right. Well, I don't have one thing that's very cool, so I've got three minor things that are partly cool. First two are some tips, even though this isn't the Mac show. I know a lot of you are probably going to be installing Mountain Lion, so here's a couple of tips. One is that just like with Lion, save that installer once it downloads, because on my two Macs that I was upgrading yesterday, actually I haven't installed it on the one yet. The MacBook Air would only download it at like 3 megabits per second, and it said estimated time to download 7 hours. I tried it on the Mac Pro, which uses wired Ethernet. Full bandwidth was, I had it in 30 minutes. Tried it again to see if it was just a bandwidth issue. I don't know what it was. Maybe Apple intentionally throttles Wi-Fi machines, because it certainly wasn't a limitation of my Wi-Fi. It was copying files at 100 megabits over the Wi-Fi, over wireless in. So, so once you download that, go to your applications folder, and there's a file there called Install Mac OS X Mountain Lion. Save that, because all I did was I dragged it over to a different drive, saved it, dragged that to the MacBook Air's drive, and then because they're both on the same iTunes App Store or Mac App Store account, it was registered. So you don't actually have to download it more than once. But once you run it, it deletes the installer. So remember that. Save it first. The other thing, prepare for an especially long installation time. On the MacBook Air, which obviously has an SSD, it took 30 minutes, which surprised me. When I rebooted, it said estimated time 30 minutes. I thought, oh, no way. It's going to take like 7 and it'll just overestimate. No, it was 30 minutes almost to the minute. I timed it. So I'm anticipating an even longer installation.
You need to get out, dude.
On my traditional hard drive. And lastly, so once you've got your Mountain Lion, you're booted back in and you want something to do, you can listen to music. That's a terrible segue. The Humble Bundle, I've talked about the Humble Bundle because they have the Humble Indie Bundle of games where it's free, DRM-free games for Mac, Windows, and Linux. And it's cool because you can support independent artists who and developers who eschew digital rights management and traditional sales outlets. Now they're doing with music too. I have not heard any of these albums, but you can choose and pay your own price for 6 albums from popular people on the internet. And you support DRM free, and it's totally FLAC lossless CD quality, so better than iTunes or Amazon store. So that's at, let's see, humblebundle.com. So music and games and stuff, it's a good thing to support. That is the end of my three not so cool things.
That's all
very right. Cool.
That'd
very
good.
Cool.
That'd be fine.
We like those.
My cool thing is John Mayer's album that I've downloaded this week off the net. Born and Raised. I like John Mayer a lot, and there's a video that I...
No, it's John Mayer.
Yeah, it's Mayer. Mayer. Mayer, Mayer. Yeah, that's what's confused me last week, you see. That's why I said Marissa or Maria. No, John Mayer, I like him a lot, and I think this is his new album, and it's great. I really enjoyed it. It's $5.99 at the moment in the store as well, so it's not particularly expensive. And also, if you're a John Mayer fan, Then there's a three-way album that's got his collection, which is like most of the past stuff, and that's only 20 quid at the moment as well. That's been reduced. So go buy John Mayer at the moment. I cleaned them out the other week because I've got a couple of John Mayer on digital downloads that weren't digital downloads,
but analog downloads.
But for the price, I thought I might as well be legal. There you go.
He's got a nice hat, hasn't he?
He's good. I like John Mayer. I've got one video that I made of me and the wife and the kids one Saturday morning, and it's got one of his tracks on it. And it's really special. So I like him a lot. There you go.
Could I just ask a technical question of our two, three, four even very technical people? It's related to what Eric said about transferring it over from Mountain Lion to the other computer. I just opened the, which I did with Lion, I opened up the contents of the app at the time, and I just pull out the DMG file and I put it on a disc. So I've actually got a physical disc of Mountain Lion. Now, I did that. I downloaded that on one computer. Then I decided to install that on my MacBook Pro. And all you need is the DMG on a disc to download it, and it installs perfectly. The question is, what is all the other bump that comes with the download if you don't need any of it?
I think some of it isn't. Some of it's like a wizard checking your machine's compatible and stuff.
But what do you mean?
Well, when you download it, you know you've copied over the whole app. Well, in that app, you've got the DMG file, but there's also like five or six other files that do things, other bits and pieces, other bits of apps and stuff. But you quite clearly don't actually need it because it's a DMG. When you make a disc, all you do is copy the DMG. You don't copy any of that other stuff. So
I wonder if
I was wondering what the other stuff was.
Can we say
whether it's got Xcode on it or something?
And anyone listening to the audio podcast really doesn't give a toss at this point.
Oh, fair enough.
No, I don't think they do, mate. I'm sorry.
Well, ask it on the Mac show. You've got five Mac.
Exactly. It's a Mac topic, not a big topic.
I think I see what you mean. I just looked inside of it. Yeah, inside the .app of the installer contains one disk image that has the, you know, it's what would be the CD image. I think the rest of the files are just there to be a .app. I think they're required in order to have an executable.
Okay. You finished? All right, see you next week. Thanks for coming. Sorry about the last 5 minutes.
Oh, where are we? Where can we fight each other?
No, you blew your chance there, mate. I was gonna give you a little run around, but no, you wanted Mr. Tech Support on Mountain Lion. Wrong show! Where can we get you, James?
He's quite intolerant this evening, isn't he? So this is on Twitter, SYZYGY.
Where can we get you, Ian?
I'm at TIOABOA on Twitter.
And I'm at you and Rankin on Twitter, and the other two you couldn't give a stuff about because they think they're on the wrong show. Foxy, where are you?
You're just mad because you're all flickery tonight.
I am. That's what's done me. It's actually, no. Now you mention that, Eric, I've worked out it's not the lights, it's because I keep doing this. Right, Foxy, where are you, mate?
Alex G. Fox on Twitter.
And Eric, where are you?
EricLanigan.com, Twitter.com/EricLanigan, EricLanigan.
You'd be lucky if you make 27. See you next week.